I know from like the New Age hemisphere.
So we're all gonna turn into light beings and live in space.
I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about the apocalypse, and I'm not really a zombie person or evil spirit doer, so if my family survives, I guess the first thing I do is take inventory about what's in the house, including the elixirs of life, coffee, and wine.
It'd be a fourth dimensional Earth and a regular ass third dimensional Earth, and whoever stays here is going to suffer. It's gonna suck. But that's their choice. They don't have the vibrational change necessary to go to the new place. So the law of one says anyone that is over 50% service to self will not come with us on the harvest.
So I guess like when I vision, you know, if I'm driving down 64 out to the river, I picture scenes from the road. Maybe we're taking bicycles if the cars don't work. I don't have a clear visual in my head other than making sure my people are safe and my immediate needs are taken care of. I do like to shower, so I hope the water's still running.
No death, so it really doesn't matter. It's just like, do you want to graduate third grade and go on to fourth grade, or do you like third grade and you want to try it again? That's cool. Do that.
Melanie Barker starting us off. It's the day after, and the apocalypse has come. And on today's show, we ask the question, what would you do?
So, Ella, what do you like to read?
Rainbow Magic Fairy Books.
Rainbow Magic Fairy Books. Would you say that that is your favorite type of book?
Yeah.
Now, what are the Rainbow Magic Fairy Books? Rainbow Fairy Magic Books, sorry. What are they all about?
About fairies and the two girls, Rachel and Kirstie, and they're trying to help the fairies get something, and the goblins have it.
So, would you say that these books are pretty popular with other six-year-olds?
Yeah.
Do you think girls or boys would like them?
Girls.
Why not boys?
Because boys aren't really interested in fairies.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So, not everybody's into to fairy books. People are into other books. Any type of other books that you're interested in?
Magic Treehouse books.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Magic Treehouse. Any other types of books?
Princess books.
And princess books. Okay, so we got princess books and fairy books and books about magic. Okay. So there are a lot of other types of books out there. There are mysteries and romances and horror books about monsters. And then there's books that are out there that are about something called the apocalypse. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
No? Do you know what the apocalypse is?
No.
Okay, so have you ever read any stories or heard any stories about the end of the world?
Yeah.
You have? What book is that?
I forgot the name of it.
You forgot the name of the book. Do you know what the book is about, though?
Christopher
is in the book?
Yeah, and he's sailing the seas. He thinks that there's the end of the world.
Christopher, and he thinks he's sailing the... Ah, would this happen to be Christopher Columbus?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay, so Christopher Columbus might have been about the end of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I guess in a way, yeah, that sort of makes sense, end of the world. So, an apocalypse book isn't necessarily about someone like Christopher Columbus. It's more like the world today, and then if we were to wake up tomorrow, it wouldn't necessarily be gone, but things would be really different. Like, we might not have electricity, or we might not have cars, or we might not have computers, or something crazy like all the boys would die and only the girls would be left, or zombies would come and start eating our brains and stuff like that. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So, does any of this sound like a book that you might want to read?
Not really.
Not really, okay. All right, so let's pretend for a moment that you actually are reading an apocalypse book, all right, even though you wouldn't want to read it. Let's just say you're forced to read it. Let's say something really bad happened, and it's the morning after. Just boom, it happened, and now it's the next day. How would you feel about that? You're not sure how you would feel about that?
I don't know.
Is there anything in any of your books that could help you out after an apocalypse? So let's say there's no more electricity and zombies are everywhere. Is there anything from the other books that you like that you think would help you out?
Yeah.
Like what?
The Rainbow Magic Fairy books.
Do you think the Rainbow Magic Fairies, do you think they would come and help you?
No, but if I read them and see how they trick the goblins, I can trick the zombies.
Well, that sounds to reason. Fairies can trick goblins, they should be able to trick zombies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So any other things in your books that you think might help in this book about the apocalypse?
No.
What would be the scariest thing about living in a world like that, with zombies everywhere?
I don't know.
No. What would be worse to you, zombies or no electricity?
Zombies.
Zombies would be worse than no electricity?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess you're right. That would probably be worse. I could deal without electricity. So. Does this sound like something that you like might want to read or have someone read to you about?
No.
Why not? Well, why wouldn't you want to hear a story about these awful, horrible things?
Because it sounds scary.
You know what? It is kind of scary. So, all right. Well, is there anything else that you want to say about these types of books or about what might happen if we woke up tomorrow and there were zombies in our lawn?
No.
No? Okay. You want to say goodbye?
Bye-bye.
Saying that we don't know really which direction we're going. We don't know. It's you got Bush, you got Clinton, we pick in goals 2000, we pick common core standards, we pick anything, right? Yes, we can pick something. It's but it's interesting, think it like that. It's I feel GPS is a very interesting metaphor for us to think about education. It's a great technology, but you gotta know where you're going with it. Right? That's important. If you don't know where you're going with it, it's like education reform. We're trying to make our schools so effective and our teachers so effective. But effective in doing what?
That Americans got irony. The minute I arrived in America and saw that legislation, No Child Left Behind. Because I thought, whoever thought of that title gets irony, don't they? Because it's leaving millions of children behind. Now, I can see that's not a very attractive name for legislation. Millions of children left behind, I can see that. What?
What's the purpose of education? Where are we going with this? I mean, even look at this. I mean, we are in the US pushing for the idea of a race to the top. We're in a race to the top of what? As an immigrant to the US, this is really disappointing. I was lured here by bigger dreams like John F. Kennedy. He said, let's send someone to the moon. I could even put up with George Bush's dream and say, let's read. I mean, if you remember that time in 19, you remember George Bush came in, one of the State of the Union addresses, let's make sure every third grader can read. Reading is tough for him, but shouldn't be hard for everybody else. It's.
And education really now sits at a very important crossroads, I think. It's very interesting to me that education sits in this curious place. It's one of the most contested areas of public policy around the world. Governments all around the world are trying to figure out what to do with education. It's never been a hotter topic politically. And yet more and more kids, as far as I can see, and teachers are becoming disengaged from the whole process as it currently is. And it's, I think, because there's a contradiction between the principles on which we should be basing education and those that determine public policy. But all kinds of things have happened, just in technology in the past 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, there were no iPads, there were no iPods, were there? iTunes was still a kind of faint idea. There were no smartphones of any sort. There were no social media, really, 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. I mean, 10 years ago, people didn't tweet. Did they? I mean, if they did, they were discouraged. Weren't they? People would say, what was that? Do you mind not doing that? And if you have to do it outdoors. We're trying to eat in here, you know. But now, suddenly, it's a kind of social commitment. You have to tweet, otherwise you're kind of out of the frame.
And my contention is all kids have tremendous talents, and we squander them pretty ruthlessly. So I want to talk about education, and I want to talk about creativity. My contention is that creativity now is as important in education as literacy, and we should treat it with the same status.
Hi, this is Norm. Or maybe I should say I was Norm. I do not know who or what I am anymore. Welcome to the new world. There is no human race in this new reality, so we've all been transformed into something else. Luckily, I found a working universal translator, though I do not know if there is anyone left who can understand English anymore. In my new form I cannot make human sounds, and I have no capability for human speech. My new voice is not human. It sounds like this. Yesterday was a blast. Turns out it was the last day of the 13th Bakhtun, and hence the end of the 4th Mayan World Order. In other words, the end of the world. First the UFOs appeared and started tearing down most of the cities with their heat rays. They leveled everything man-made on the planet. Then at noon a giant black hole to hell appeared directly overhead and devoured the mothership and the saucers. Then it swallowed up the sun. I do not think too many people noticed that though, because of all the smoke. The fires were still burning brightly, so we could still see. Then the locusts and snakes materialized and began falling to the ground. They were mad hungry and went after people and animals. One snake took my right leg off at the knee in one bite. Meanwhile, the pigs were tearing apart the rest of my body and everyone else. It was horrible. Fortunately, the zombies arose from underground and chased away most of the snakes and pigs. I still had most of my left arm intact, not that it matters now. The zombies were intent on feeding on the remains of the freshly dead, and seemed to leave the living survivors alone. But we didn't stick around to see what they would do after they were done with that. In our flight from the zombies, we came across a band of old men wearing capes and robes. They didn't seem affected by the day's events. They called themselves Mayans. They took us to a place where there were other survivors. They gave us purple wine, which helped everyone feel a little better. They piled up all the wreckage from the cities and started a massive bonfire. Then they assembled us all together and congratulated us for surviving the day. They explained we were in the final hours of the world, and soon, everything we knew, even time, would end. A new world was being prepared, a fifth world. There would be no human race in the new world, they said. But all survivors would be given a new form in the new world. Then they suggested that the remaining time be spent in celebration. Turns out those Mayans can't party. More purple wine was distributed, all you could want. Soon there was music, and everyone was singing and dancing. I ran into the Grim Reaper there. He said he had the rest of the night off, first time in 6,000 years. He said his group was getting ready to play the next set. You should have heard him on the sax, real mean. Later I saw him talking to Jim Groom. Can you imagine that? Jim Groom and Grim. Wish I had a picture. I guess Grim wanted to transform Jimmy into a supersized single cell organism, but Jim was trying for something with better language skills. I don't know how that worked out. The party grew primal and savage as the night wore on. Overhead you could see galaxies colliding and all the stars exploding. Eventually I passed out. When I came to, I was like I am now. I seem to be some sort of feathered serpent, with tentacles and antenna. It's very different here. There's no solid ground anywhere. It's like being in fog, and I cannot tell what is very far away. Just kind of floating, or drifting in mist. I had a visitor this morning. He said there were others like me, and we would soon all be together. Well, I got to go and get ready for my meeting with my new mate. I hear she's got beautiful scales and a terrific set of mandibles. To all the other survivors, I wish you well. That is my story. Any questions?
I'm tired of starting again. I'm worn out with the need to smile and shrug to keep calm and carry on. But we do this, we all do this, so many times. And it grinds us down, it burns us out, makes us cynical and bitter. I was young the first time, everything collapsed. But you live through it, you always do, and you keep going, rebuild, until the next time. Sometimes you think you can see a pattern. There's no pattern. There's no meaning. Like the dust that rises as our dreams fall. It's chaos, always underneath, always waiting, But what else can you do? It's like you invest everything you have in it, because how else can you live? Only when you know what is going to come, sooner or later, can you learn not to brace yourself against it. Take those moments of happiness where you can. Take them fully, take them powerfully. But then what kind of a person are you? Living only for pleasure. You stand back. Start thinking about the others. But when the apocalypse takes them from you, bang, you are back where you started. And what do you have left? Memories, pain, and dust. That's all. So if everything is going to fall, all you can do is build. Even though you know it will fall, you build, you create, you grow. You are building up on your own terms, in your own way.
That was David Kernahan following up after Norm Wright, who gives us the reality of where he is now. And Laura Jensen bring up the apocalyptic reality from the International Society for Technology and Education, as Ben Rhymes has a one-on-one with his daughter about how she would survive in this brave new world. And Melanie Barker, who opened our eyes to the new world that we now live in. I'm Tim Owens, and a special thanks to everyone in Bunk 5, the Digi Ouijis, for exploring the dark space of where we all are. Not just when the apocalypse comes, but on the day after. Thanks for listening.